This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Well, we've got some developments in the ongoing Sorsby saga, and stemming from a conversation yesterday, Cincinnati. Did they know or did they not know about Sorsby's gambling? We'll get into that. Rockies lose last night. And Bo Nix's ankle. That's my poll question today. I haven't done a poll question in a while. Who's more famous, Bo Nix or his ankle? The guy can't even itch his toe. It's getting a little ridiculous, guys. Come on. Also, Bill Simmons says the Nuggets need to just bite the bullet on a certain player. We'll get to all of that coming up. Michael, the whole show starts now. Susan and Cheryl on the other side of that bulletproof glass today. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Cheryl. Michael, before we get into our sports topics of the day, I saw this from a texter on Good Morning NoCo. I mean, you guys were, it was hilarious today. Some of the great texts. This HVAC guy wants to hear, for some reason, wants to leave me out, and that makes me sad. He wants to hear Brian, Tanner, Cody, and Michael. Cody Wilson, Denver Front Range Weather, and Michael on a four-hour, no FCS violation, FCC? There we go.
Basically a podcast.
No bars held on XM. He would like to hear what Michael really thinks of Brady just once. Just wants to hear what Michael would have to really say. That could be scary territory, Michael. I think you like me, but open up to a four-hour podcast, unedited. Who knows what's going to happen?
Do I?
I don't know. It depends on the day.
Well, I think I would like you a lot more if Big City Roadhouse had breakfast burritos here. In
they do have
minutes.
Them. They're serving breakfast burritos still for another about an hour, if you can get down there, if you can find somebody out in the world to bring a breakfast burrito over from Big
Tanner?
City Roadhouse. You could ask him. You could certainly ask him.
Tanner, Brady, and I would like breakfast burritos. We promise that we will pay you back in kindness.
And my two-man game podcast this morning, Michael, which that's up, that's ready, by the way.
It will be available.
I have officially hit a point with the beard, with the Dirty 30 challenge, where it's no longer... it no longer looks good, you know, and Coach Smiley confirmed that today by telling me that I look like Ron Burgundy in the movie Anchorman when all hell breaks loose and he gets fired and he grows the beard out and he's drinking milk on a 100-degree day. That's what he said today. So we have officially reached the now it's not fun phase in the Dirty 30.
I saw someone giving you some change,
yeah,
and it wasn't
there
because you paid cash. Someone was like, oh, that Brady looks homeless.
Yeah, and honestly, it wasn't a bad game other than one inning last night. You know, Sean Sullivan made, what, his second career start last night, and he pitched four innings. It was the second inning that destroyed them. Gave up seven runs in the second inning. And the Rockies end up losing only 8-6. It was 8-1 for a good chunk of time, and the Rockies tried to make it interesting. Hunter Goodman was good. There was a weird moment when you had Peter Crow Armstrong hit the home run, but it didn't look like maybe it was a home run. They reviewed it. Here's that play.
And then just kind of sitting I want more from that in the end.
Fly ball deep down the right field line into the corner. And it's a fair ball and a home run for Pete Crow Armstrong. Right over the foul pole. 15th for Pete. He'll touch home. And once he does, it's 8-1 Cubs.
Yeah. Didn't really think it was a home run. Warren Schaefer said as much. He said, yeah, that should have been a foul ball. He thinks they got it wrong. Didn't really matter. I mean, I guess it would have made things a little more interesting. But then the Rockies make a little bit of a comeback there. Hunter Goodman with another home run. Hit his 21st home run last night. Continues to... I mean, his home run, that was his 21st. He's the catcher. The catcher is one of three rookies in franchise history with 50-plus hits and 10-plus home runs in the first half of the season, joining Todd Helton and Trevor Story. There's some good things going on with this Rockies team. You know, how about Sterling Thompson? He had two home runs. First two home runs of his career, he had them yesterday. There's a lot of really good outfielders for this team. It really, you know, whether it's the closers or the starter just falling apart for one inning, it really feels like that's how close the Rockies are. That they're just a bad inning with a series of fortunate events away from putting up a competitive record. And I'm talking, when I say competitive record, like 10 games under would be amazing for the Rockies. They're 28-47. They are off today. So that counts as a loss, Michael, in terms of the Dirty 30. So we hope we can get it. The soonest we could get it is Saturday night.
My face feels very cold.
It's driving me nuts, Mike.
There's no itchiness on my face. I just feel cold and
yeah.
Sorry. In the heat of summer, you have this full beard. It's almost summer.
It's basically. So I always just think June is summer.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, even though technically it's like the 20th or 21st.
Is this supposed to cool off at all? What did Cody have to say about this? Well, better than it has been. 83 today, 89 on Saturday. Ugh. Faith says, I thought my Cubs were going to do what they like to do best, and that is lose near the final innings, but we held on. Sorry. I mean, come on, Faith. I could have used these. I could have used a series sweep here. And then the Rockies are done. I'm done with the Dirty 30. Had a texter ask me if I'm going to continue to follow the Rockies this year after the Dirty 30. That's a good question. They're bad, but I like a lot of these players, and I'm watching with the intent in my mind that we're watching the future of this franchise. I do think that things are going to ultimately get better for the Rockies. Obviously, we got the lockout discussions going on, all that, so who knows? By the time they start figuring it out is the time maybe we go on some kind of a lockout. But I will be watching, maybe not as close as I am right now, but I'll still be watching. There's some really good things. Like, I think, obviously, Goodman has been great. Kyle Karros hit a solo home run in the ninth. That was his fourth. He's hitting .359. Five doubles, one triple, three home runs, and nine RBIs over his last 21 games. So there's definitely reasons to be intrigued by this team. We mentioned Sterling Thompson. He became the first visiting player to hit his first two career home runs in the same game at Wrigley Field since the Astros did it with Orlando Miller on July 10th in 1994. So you're starting to get these little nuggets of cool stats, good information. Goodman being one of three rookies, like I said earlier, in franchise history with 50-plus hits and 10-plus home runs in the first half of the season. The bullpen was pretty good. I mean, locked down. Agnos and Hergett were pretty damn good. It was just that one inning where you had seven runs that killed you. And it just seems like we're getting that more and more.
It's a close game.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of close games. This is way different than it was last year. So I don't know if we'll get it done by this weekend. Spencer Smith of DNVR Rockies, he said either we will have 30 wins or we will be at 29 by the time we talk to him on Tuesday. And they'll be going for that 30th and they'll get it either before we talk or he thinks that this will be done either way by Tuesday night.
The evil part of me
wants
them to win on July 3rd. So you have to eat all the, hot dogs and get stuff in your beard.
No, that is my goal. Get done by July 3rd. Isai Chris commenting on the idea of Michael doing an unedited podcast to finally tell the world what he really thinks of me. Isai, thank you. Micah, be careful, young man. Who conducts semi-annual reviews for cost of living raises? Not me, but, you know.
It's me.
He said, I would promote Faith to station HR. Definitely need some HR around here. Faith says, are you going to increase the number of games next year if there is a next year?
There's not going to be a next year.
Like the lockout?
No, I mean, I don't think you're going to do the beer thing again.
We said that last year. And I think by the time the season's over and we've gone all year, it kind of seems like it's a fun thing.
I feel like 40 is the right way to go.
No, we're not
doing...
With this
team improving.
We're not doing 40, Mike. It's the dirty 30. It's just how it goes.
Filthy 40.
But we might not have a season next year. Because the current collective bargaining agreement expires on December 1st, 2026. And it's expected right now that there will be a lockout. So that's just something to brace yourself for, baseball fans. 17 minutes after the hour, Michael, the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. My good is going to be Hunter Goodman hitting his 21st home run. The guy is red hot right now. We need more, though. We need more. The bad for me, you know what? I'm not going to say the Rockies lost. The bad for me is what we're doing with Bo Nix and the coverage of him. Michael, he bent over, took his shoe off, itched his toe, and Denver media is freaking out saying, uh-oh, he's already uncomfortable with the ankle. His hand goes down, and you can clearly see he's adjusting or removing some sock lint from his toe. And is this what we're going to do? Is this what we're going to do all freaking off season and probably into the season?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
It's very annoying.
As a fan, like, I'm always going to be like, don't run it. Your ankle will break. But, like, by week 5 or 6, I'm going to be over that. I just don't think the media is ever going to be over it.
I'm trying to think of injuries around our sports guys where it's been this, I don't know, such a hot button, such a big topic. Can you think of another body part in Colorado sports history?
Maybe John Elway's hamstring.
When was that, though?
That was, I think, his last season.
Yeah. I don't even remember really worrying about it. Aaron Gordon's hamstring, maybe. Joker's wrist.
Yeah, but it's not... That story just didn't...
None of them
take
have.
The effect that this story is stupidly taking effect.
It's just annoying, man. The ugly for me is when you have a Division I basketball coach sit across from you who's like exercising, looks sharp, ready to go all the time, tells you that you look like Will Ferrell in Anchorman at his worst. That is where we are with the Dirty 30. That's the ugly. For me. All right, Mike. 19 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, the Broncos are done with minicamp. They were supposed to go today, but Sean Payton gave them the day off, and that ends training camp. So we'll get into some of the stories around Broncos, not training camp, minicamp. We'll get into some of the stories around the Broncos. It has been kind of a weird training camp. Obviously, you have the Jonathan Cooper stuff going on. You have the ankle. But they're done for now, and they'll be back in July for their official training camp.
I feel like Watergate wasn't as much of a big deal in Denver as Anklegate.
I tweeted it last night. I said, hey, who's more famous, Bo Nix or his ankle? Somebody commented and said, who cares? It's World Cup time. I was like, in Denver, Bo Nix's ankle is more popular than the World Cup.
Yeah, you should block that person.
No, I'm not blocking that person. Just because you don't get into the World Cup at all, I do actually think it's kind of, I think it's kind of entertaining. It's kind of fun.
I'd get into the World Cup if the cup was filled with Mountain Dew and I was allowed to drink from it.
Why do you say things like that? Like, that's when they, write that one down. That's an example of it didn't need to be said. Like,
that is one demerit. One
demerit
strike.
Thomas.
That's two now.
I'd watch it if I got to drink Mountain Dew.
Like, what is that? That didn't really add anything. So I'm trying to, we're doing like sound checks with you now on the air. And that would be my critique today. Do you think that contributed to the conversation, throwing out an unrealistic option in order to get you to watch the World Cup?
I thought Micah came in and played pretty damn good.
We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show. Let's talk some Broncos. And if we have to, the ankle. We'll be right back.
Another prep season in the books, and soon we'll be looking ahead to high school football season. Hear Coach speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, and on the rocks liquor, the beverage of the week, Sun Cruisers. No bubble vodka cocktails. Come in 8 flavors like blueberry lemonade, classic iced tea, and half and half. And at only 100 calories, these can be 100 calories per can. These are perfect for your new summer favorite, available at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. Don't feed the beast, Callahoma. He says, I think the Mountain Dew comment was kind of funny. Sometimes you can be funny, yeah.
Feed the beast.
No. I get it. You're not into... Like, what? Seriously. You have zero interest in the World Cup. And I know you've always hated soccer. You've just hate... You hate it with a passion.
I do. I hate it with words.
Why is it? Is it because you don't like the kicking of a ball, the way... What is it about soccer that makes you hate it more than anything else, as far as sports related?
It's boring. The only time it's entertaining is when, like, you have little kids and they don't know how to play very well, so they're all kicking at the ball.
That's entertaining?
Like, that's adorable.
You would rather watch children play.
It's just stupid.
I don't get it, because you said you would rather watch children play the sport, and they'd be bad at it, obviously, and it's cute, sure, but it's bad. And you would enjoy that, but not actually amazing athletes that are moving up and down a field at warp speed, and at any moment, well, maybe not any moment.
They can fall down and go, oh, I'm hurt.
So you don't like the flopping? I'm asking specifically. It's just, you say it's boring.
It's a number of things.
But hockey is similar. The scores. Is it boring because they don't score enough? Or the field's too big? What is it? I'm trying to examine this.
I had this conversation with a girls soccer player, and she was very, very critical of soccer, men's soccer, because she's like, they all just fall down. Now, women's soccer, they're just crazy and hit each other all the time. But, like, men's soccer is just, it's like the fakest thing. It's like every time, like, someone comes close to you or they kick the ball away from you, it's a big Broadway drama.
Please don't do that again.
Broadway drama.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm sorry I even asked. Let's talk about it. Let's change the subject, please. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So Broncos mini camp is over. The story surrounding camp, at least from what I've kind of picked up here in the last couple of weeks, there's Bo Nix's ankle. It's Jonathan Cooper. That's the biggest story around the Broncos right now. His second arrest in a 1-week span. He was excused from practice
Sean Payton said, we played the clip yesterday. He's taking this time, obviously. He's got to work on himself. The club is very much in tune to the league office, local authorities here, and we've had several meetings, clearly from an ownership standpoint, head coach, organizationally. There's a bar that we have and an expectation that we have, and that's very high. We'll consider all of that as we continue to gather the information. We asked Sean Keeler yesterday, who's been close to the story, covering for the Denver Post. I asked him yesterday if he thought Cooper would be on the Broncos roster next season, and he said no. We did rapid fire with him, and that's just a quick yes or no answer, a yes or no question, and we want a yes or no answer. And he said he doesn't think Jonathan Cooper will be there next year. It sure doesn't sound like it, Mike. So that's obviously the big one. And you still, like, even if the Broncos decide not to move on from Jonathan Cooper, you're still awaiting the court process, and then you'd have to see what the NFL has to say, because there's still a chance the NFL comes in regardless of, because we know the charges for the girlfriend has been dropped, but he's still, you know, he's still got a lot of things that we're looking at, you know, felony charges, things like that. Even if that somehow gets resolved, even though Harvey Steinberg is going to the, you know, the racist stuff now, that's what he's trying to get to. That normally, to me, indicates Hail Mary. There's concern that you might lose this case. But even if he wins this case, the NFL can still come in and say, the fact that you were involved in this, we take very seriously. They didn't used to. They do now. This is a very tough one for Jonathan Cooper.
Yeah, I think the NFL will step in. As soon as that nurse's report came out,
yeah,
that's
the tough,
like,
one.
That's when I was like, okay, my opinion's probably, like, I mean, they're already like, you know, okay, we're far away from the situation, so we have our opinions. But when the expert says this probably happened, you have to listen to the expert.
And even Steinberg noted that the police, that I'm guessing were on site that night, they at first were like, we don't really see any markings to indicate that. But I guess even when I read that, I thought, is that what, do they examine? Do they examine? I mean, they kind of do, but do they examine fully your injuries on site?
I think they can do only so much because they don't have the medical expertise. I don't know who ordered this. It's possible the police said, hey, go to this hospital and take a test or something. It's possible she did it voluntarily. But the cops can only do so much. If you have an obvious bruise, but these were apparently more internal.
Yeah. So obviously that's the big one surrounding the Broncos. The next one is probably Bo Nix. Yeah. The fact that he's on the mend. Sean Payton said he's doing well. He's doing really well. He'll clearly be ready in time for training camp. I think he's going to be full participant by the end of this month. Yes, it's good to have him out in uniform. Nix said that the doctors have told him his ankle looks good as new, and he said he could be practicing full speed right now if the team wanted him to. So I can't not talk about this because it is a story that's going to come up. I just don't want to. I just hate... This is like a typical Bronco, and you know, I know you love the Broncos, and this isn't really a knock on the Broncos, but this is how the media reacts to the Broncos.
Like, when there's nothing going on, you have to contrive.
Yeah, but even if this were ankle injury in September, then you would have reasons to be concerned, but it's June 18th. It's just not, I'm not concerned. If Sean Payton gets out on the podium and says, you know, yeah, he's a little ginger out there, little ginger, we got to be careful, then yeah, we got something. And if Bo said the same thing, but nobody's saying it. So I don't think it's an issue right now. He explained the cleanup surgery that he had. He had an initial surgery right after breaking his ankle. And then he had a cleanup surgery in April. I don't even know if it's a surgery. It's like a cleanup. What do you call it? Like a clean, just maybe it's a surgery, but it's not as scary as some people tried to make it sound.
It sounds like they opened it up,
cleaned it,
and then grabbed a couple of things that were just like sitting there wrong, and then like maybe they could have left a sponge in there. I don't know. It's cleanup. It's not like the big
surgery. Cleanup procedure.
Yeah, a lot of people get that.
Yeah. He explained after Tuesday's practice that the second surgery was to remove bone spurs. Spurs, Knicks. Funny. I don't know. There was a joke there, Mike. I couldn't find it.
No, Brady.
No.
Brady, that was bad.
I didn't actually do it. I said there was a joke there.
But the fact that you mentioned that there was a joke
Spurs,
there.
Spurs, Knicks.
The fact that you criticize me for all my top-notch puns,
he
and then you try to come
it.
Up with
yesterday.
Something and you fail.
No, that was good. Spurs, Knicks. There's a joke there. Find it, Mike. That's your task today. Drop everything else you're doing. Spurs, Knicks.
Yeah, well, Knicks beat the Spurs. Or
so will,
it's possible
will
that...
Will Knicks beat the Spurs again?
Yeah. Well, I think Bo actually predicted the future by going and getting that bone spur surgery, so.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's fine. I'm not a doctor. I know that. But why would Sean Payton not tell the truth if it was more severe? Why would Bo Nix do that? Now, Bo could do that for contract purposes, Mike, but he's not going to sign anything until next year anyway. And we're going to find out pretty quickly with his play on the field how he is. So it doesn't really do any good to say, yeah, it's still bugging me. Or to lie about it if it actually is bugging you. Because if it is bugging you, then great, it's June 18th. You still have several months until the season starts. So I don't know why you would lie.
Really interesting is if the Knicks had actually beaten the Nuggets. That's a different procedure.
Hmm. Yeah, that was... I respect the effort. This is a family show, by the way.
I'm talking about nuggets on your hand. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I don't know what you're implying, Brady.
Texter says could have been just cleaning up of scar tissue and shaving stuff down. Had that after my arm surgery. Yeah.
Yeah. Scar tissue that I wish you saw.
Golly. Why?
It's Red Hot Chili Peppers, Brady.
I know. Don't test me on the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Michael. 34 minutes after the hour, Cincinnati in the news now. Mike, Cincinnati, did they know about Brendan Sorsby? And when did they know? Because if they knew, I think they're 10 times worse than Texas Tech. Let's talk about that coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Scar tissue that I wish you saw. Sarcastic, Mr. Know-it-all. I'll close your eyes and I'll kiss you, cause with the birds I'll share.
Yeah, thanks for that, Mike. Faith said the same thing. Was it bad as I typed that? I thought about the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yep, and Michael took us there. 40 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Big City Roadhouse. Hey, this is a side thing. July 3rd, I'm going to be competing in a hot dog eating contest. If you want to go up against me, if you win, you get free food for a year from Big City Roadhouse. I mean, and it's free to enter. So I got to check, though. We're doing it's 10 contestants, and we might be over the top, but you know how these things go. People might say they're going to do it and then maybe don't show up. So you come show up, come to support me, and then maybe if we need another chair filled, we'll throw you in. But I think we need like one more. We might need one more to get in. I got to confirm a couple of texters that have said they wanted to be in, but we're close. We're close to the 10 that we need.
And I will be listening to the play-by-play.
Yeah, Derbs and Tanner are going to do play-by-play of the hot dog eating contest. Brian Gary has thrown down the gauntlet. He is challenging me. So, Mike, in less than a year, I'm going to be undefeated against the entire Good Morning NoCo crew. I beat smoke Tanner in the race, and I'm going to smoke Brian in the hot dog eating contest.
What about a former member of Good Morning NoCo?
I beat you and stuff all the time.
Name one.
Well, I guess we haven't had like a real station competition. I beat you in bowling.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, everybody beat me in bowling.
So I'm undefeated.
Like I should probably like get that little thing that children have and like put up
the rails
side deals.
Yeah, you should definitely do that.
Because I get a lot of gutter balls.
Yeah, you do. But no, Big City Roadhouse guys, they're serving breakfast burritos every day, 10 a.m. to noon. Michael and I and Brian went out there one day for breakfast, and I had it. Oh my gosh, it is to die for. Their breakfast burritos are ridiculous.
I beat you in orders.
You beat me in what?
You ordered a burrito. I ordered the pizza.
That's
therefore
subjective.
I won.
That's an opinion. That doesn't count.
You are 0-1 against a former member of Good Morning NoCo.
The only weirdo like you would say that that was a competition. Who ordered the best food? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. If you want to shoot us a text. How about this one, Mike? So Brendan Sorsby's agent, we talked about it a bit. Ron Slavin was on a Dallas radio station, 105.3 The Fan, earlier yesterday. And he said that Cincinnati, so that's where Sorsby was before transferring to Texas Tech. He said that Cincinnati should be questioned or catching heat because the school knew of Sorsby's gambling for 2 years and never said anything. So the attorney, now this is an attorney, Michael. He better be damn sure he's right. That's an attorney saying that. Or was it his agent or his attorney? My bad. It's his agent. Okay, never mind. It's his
agents
agent.
Will say whatever.
It's
attorneys
his agent.
Need
yeah,
to
that's
be
why,
careful.
My bad. It was his agent. So Sorsby played at Cincinnati for two seasons that began in 2024. On August 2024, Cincinnati, this is proven, Cincinnati was alerted to Sorsby's activity on daily fantasy site Prize Picks, according to court documents. The school questioned Sorsby after receiving the alert and was told by the quarterback that he was denied access to the site and had not placed any wagers, according to those documents. Sorsby also received sports wagering education, and the matter was closed, according to the documents. So here's the deal. Can you prove it? Can you prove that Cincinnati knew? They were alerted to this, asked him about it. He said he was locked out of the site and didn't place any wagers. Should Cincinnati have pressed further to confirm that he was locked out of the site? To make sure? So maybe it's on them for not digging a little deeper, but they did take him at his word, and he did receive sports wagering education. Cincinnati said in a statement yesterday, "We will reiterate what we have said before. All of our student athletes receive extensive gambling education multiple times throughout the year, and we would never knowingly play an athlete who violated NCAA sports wagering regulations. If we ever became aware of impermissible wagering, we would report to the NCAA and comply with sanctions." Cincinnati used a technology called Prohibit to monitor for impermissible betting by student athletes, coaches, and other personnel. In responding to a public records request by ESPN, Cincinnati said it had received prohibit alerts on six active student athletes between January 24 and February 26. None of the six active student athletes was the subject of more than one alert. None of the six. And none of the alerts was triggered for impermissible wagering. Student athletes are prohibited from placing bets, including fantasy sites involving any NCAA sanctioned sports. Cincinnati now is suing Sorsby for breach of contract after he transferred to Texas Tech. We knew kind of a little bit about that. He transferred to Texas Tech this offseason. They are suing him for breach of contract. The school says it suffered damages of more than $1 million from Sorsby transferring.
I'm going to be honest with you, Brady. I'm not rooting for the school. I think they knew about it. I'm not rooting for either guys, but I hope they lose that lawsuit.
Against Sorsby?
Yeah. Because They knew about it. They knew about it.
The saying here that they didn't know about it. They're maintaining. Well, what proof do you have? They were
My
alerted.
Opinion.
They were alerted that he was using these sites. He told them he wasn't. He was locked out. Couldn't do it. They actually have a piece of technology that tells them when people are gambling. I don't even know how the hell that works. Something they might have to link up on their phone or something. Seems crazy to me.
Something that tracks all the websites on their phone, and that doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the Sean Payton ankle thing, Mike. They're telling us they didn't know anything. I guess the only person that could really open this up is Sorsby. Is if Sorsby says, yeah, they knew. But I don't know if he wants to get into any more hot water.
Yeah, he's already probably not going to get drafted to the NFL.
If you can't prove it.
Yeah, but if there's enough controversy, I don't know. The XFL could be his place.
Well, I saw a report this morning that said even if he does get drafted in the supplementary draft, he still could be subject to even fines or a suspension. Even though he didn't do any of those things while being in the NFL, the NFL could do something. That seems odd to me.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Punish him for something that he did in college.
Yeah, that's out of your jurisdiction, NFL. You should not be able to do that, and I think they would lose in a lawsuit.
Here's what I'll finish with. If Cincinnati knew, then they're worse than Texas Tech. But you can't prove that they knew, and so we can't go after them like we did Texas Tech, because what you would be doing is just saying, like Michael said, it's my opinion. Great, but there's no proof that Cincinnati knew. There's probably a few higher up officials at Cincinnati, ADs and such, and Brendan Sorsby that know the truth. And unless Sorsby's willing to take everyone down with him, which maybe he's not, then I can't go after Cincinnati the same way I was going after Texas Tech.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. Cincinnati is, if they knew about it, which I think they did, my opinion, they are worse than Texas Tech. Because Texas Tech, I don't think, well, I think they were just going after the athlete.
And Texas
they
Tech
didn't
was,
know about the bad stuff.
And Texas Tech was thrust into this. Like, I don't think Texas Tech is necessarily the bad guy. I think their biggest mistake is they talk too much. They should have just said, he's in and he's our guy. He plays for us and they're allowing him to play. We're still evaluating everything. It would have come down to their decision to play him or not play him in week three. That's where we would have finally said, well, okay, wait, Texas Tech is actually doing the wrong thing, because they never played him. They tried to say that, hey, guys, he's got to go through his rehab first before we can even say he's going to play in week three, which I thought was ridiculous. But, and we'll get to this in the clip of the day, now they're doing something that I predicted they would 100% do. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. Top stories of the day should be interesting. Also, Bill Simmons had some fascinating things to say about the Denver Nuggets and a certain player on their team. We'll talk about it. Bill Simmons, obviously one hell of a knower of ball, said some interesting things earlier in his podcast a couple weeks ago, but still noteworthy. We'll talk about it. All that coming up here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
Rockies win 30. Track the dirty 30 with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Some more college stuff to get to a little bit later on. Kind of a new realization on one of the items in the bill by Senator Cruz and Senator Cantwell has something to do with NIL. So we're going to get to that a little bit later. Players are very adamant about that not happening. So it's just ongoing. It's an ongoing battle. The Soresby thing certainly didn't help. It derailed everything because now we're back to the conversations we were having before the Soresby stuff hit, where we go back to how much of a mess college sports is right now. And in with the Soresby thing, it was like, okay, that one takes the cake. We need to put all of our energy on that one. Coming up in the next hour, we got top stories of the day. And very interesting comments coming out of the New York Knicks as far as them trying to run it back next year and win another title. That will lead us into our conversation with the Nuggets and the second apron, the most confusing thing in the world. Basically, it's just stay out of there, man. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Also, some stuff on the Avs and what Cody Campbell is saying, who's on the board of Texas Tech, has all the money, all the power, saying some interesting things. All that coming up next here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.